Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, howdy, 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 folks. Not Tim Wildman, Ed Vitagliano. Sorry to disappoint you. Tim is headed for Washington, D.C. I'm not sure that that's going to be a place. Walker Wildman is also here. You're going up there. That is going to be an interesting place for the next 72
hours. It will be a memory
hours.
Of a lifetime.
Yeah, it will be. But
for the good or for the worse.
If you can get through the protesters.
Yeah.
Welcome to Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. Fred Jackson, News Director for American Family News and One News Now, is also here this morning. Welcome, Fred.
Good to be with you guys again.
And then Abe Hamilton, Public Policy Analyst and Assistant, General Counsel for AFA. Good morning.
Good morning.
Abraham Hamilton III. Folks, we got a lot of interesting stories. We hope to keep you glued to your radios. Bottom of the hour, we're going to have Todd Starnes on talking about The Deplorables' Guide to Making America Great Again. We got a number of important issues to talk about, a lot going on in the world. Fred, we do have on the verge of the inauguration of a new president, some word about a past president for which we want to elicit the prayers of our listeners. Why don't you tell us what's happening?
Yes, Ed. Former U.S. President George H.W. Bush was admitted to hospital in Houston on Saturday, complaining of shortness of breath. He's 92 years old. But the doctors say he's responding very well to treatments and probably will be heading home pretty soon. But 92 years old.
It's hard to believe he is, but that's a Bush 41. Yeah. We have to say Bush 41, Bush 43 in terms of their place in the line of presidents. It's hard to believe he's 92 years old.
And I think it was just a few years ago. It seems to me when he turned 90, he was up at his summer home in Kennebunkport, Maine. But he had a tradition, at least in the last several years, where he would parachute out of an airplane. Now, he had, I think on the last one, when he turned 90, he had a military person with him. So it was kind of a dual jump out.
Right.
But he was bound and determined that he would continue on with that. So he's quite a guy.
He is. And several years back, 7 or 8 years, my family, we were up, the details aren't important, but we were in Maine. We were driving down to the Boston area and went to Kennebunkport. And you can see the bush, they wouldn't call it a compound. It's, you know, it's no razor wire and stuff like that. Very, very beautiful, beautiful home. And of course, you can't get close to it.
No.
But we did see it, and it's quite a thing. So
it's not a small two-bedroom cabin?
No.
On the water?
No, it's not. So we want our presidents to do well.
Absolutely.
And you know, they serve the country. So, all right. Now, before we get to some of the other news, Fred, most of our listeners know we have been boycotting Target since April. So we're coming up in a few months, 4 months or so, on a year for that boycott. The reason we were boycotting Target was because they publicized, bragging really, about their policy allowing men to access women's bathrooms and changing areas and vice versa in order, as they put it, to serve their many, many millions, apparently, of transgender customers. I don't know how many they had, but our concern was not with that part of it, but the policy itself would open the door for predators. And there have been, you know, stories of that happening in Target stores. So anyway, we instituted the boycott. At this point, up to over 1.4 million people have signed on. We encourage our listeners to go to afa.net. There is a, at the top of the page, a place for you to click through and sign that. We'd like to get to 1.5 million before the one-year anniversary. But we do have some news that should encourage people about the potency of this boycott regarding the Christmas sales.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting since the boycott really took off. Target pretty consistently has been announcing bad news as far as sales go. and that continued this morning. Target has now cut its fourth quarter profit and sales outlook after, and I'm reading from the Associated Press here, after the discounter wrestled with sluggish holiday traffic in its stores and weak sales in key areas like electronics and food that offset an online business. And to that end, this morning, Target's shares are now down more than 3% in morning trading. And so it's continuing a downward trend at Target. And Christmas time is the big business season for retail. Is. And when they're announcing that their sales are weak and they're now projecting that downward trend is going to continue, it is not good news for Target.
Well, and I would say this. I mean, because there were a couple of other retailers that also had a bad Christmas. So we want to be careful not to take credit for something that may have afflicted other retailers. On the other hand, the National Retail Federation, which is the nation's largest retail trade group, also citing this Associated Press story, did report last week that holiday sales for that November and December period rose 4% across the board. So while that retail end was doing better, Target was not one of those that was taking advantage of that. So
it's a case. It's not a case of people spending less this past Christmas.
Right.
People actually spent more, but they didn't frequent Target the way they used to.
Climate change.
Yes, climate change. That's Abe. One, let's just spend just another moment here on Target. But we have been known. AFA has been known for boycotts since its inception back in 1977, which is before you were born, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, it was.
Yes, certainly before Walker was
oh,
born.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, you know, we have not boycotted as much over the years. We try to pick and choose because it is hard to get, you know, people have short attention spans now, shorter than ever before. And so it is harder to get people focused on a boycott. But we did think that this was an important enough issue. This transgender issue, which was kind of the, as I said, the open door for what we thought could happen. This has been happening. You were a prosecutor in both the New Orleans area and Houston, Texas. This is a real thing. We didn't make this up, that when you get lax with allowing and then announce it to the world that men can enter women's restrooms and changing areas, sexual predators will take advantage of that, won't they?
Yeah, absolutely. And when I've done interviews on this, I would always make sure to mention that there are more registered sex offenders in the country than there are transgendered individuals. Mm. So that a policy like this literally has a higher likelihood of inviting predators than it actually does to actually serve people who may consider themselves transgender or not. And one of the things that I think Target is unaware of, and many people in the mainstream media, they're unaware of the gross underbelly of our society. I mean, I've had cases where you have predators who have abused children, and they know they're guilty, but they demand a trial just so they can see the child again. I mean, this is how sick and it's
depraved,
very difficult and depraved, and it's very difficult for people to really wrap their minds around just how depraved some people can be. So when we say protect your wives, protect your mothers, protect your daughters, it's not hyperbole. This is a very, very real thing. And if anybody goes to AFA.net, you can see on our boycott Target page, you can see any number of incidents, real incidences that have occurred in our country where predators are getting access to victims in Target stores.
Now, Walker, you're newly married and expecting your first child, right? So, you know, this is not something that old crotchety, you know, grandpas like me get concerned about. You know, I was on an interview one time where the interviewer, the host of the radio show, talking about the Target boycott, was hostile to our boycott. It wasn't a Christian station. And I said, look, I said, and I said to the guy, I don't remember his name or the show, but I said, let me just paint you a scenario. You take your two daughters to Target They have to use the restroom. You're standing outside, and a man walks in.
Yeah.
You're standing outside the bathroom. The man walks in while your daughters are there. I said, what would you do? Mm-hmm. And he had no answer. I mean, this is a radio host stumbling around for an answer. We all know why bathrooms are kept separate and have since time, immemorial.
Yeah.
Why is it so hard for Target to figure this
out? Yeah, and that's the thing. The opposing viewpoint has typically been, well, we can't stop people from breaking the rules or doing bad things. Well, that's true in some instances, but we don't need to set policies which allow people to do bad things. And that's what Target's policy does. It allows men, whether they be sexual predators or not, to access women's facilities. And so to your point, if you're sitting and you see your two daughters go in the restroom and then a man follows, and then you go to the manager and bring this up, he's going to say, well, that's our policy. Sir, I can't do anything about it. That's our policy. And so you're stuck when normally you can use the law and policies in your favor to defend privacy. In Target's instance, you can't.
And an obstacle is an obstacle.
Right.
So if a man starts to walk in, your daughter's in, you say, hey, pal, you're not going in there.
Mm-hmm.
The manager comes over, what's the problem? And you explain it. The manager tells the guy, I'm sorry, you can't go in there. That's our policy.
Right.
You have established an obstacle for a predator.
Yeah, it's just like having a speed limit law.
Yes.
You know, there's not cops everywhere monitoring every road, but everyone knows generally, hey, I don't need to go over the speed limit, thus I'm going to follow the rules.
Well, AFA.net is, and we haven't talked about the Target boycott in a while. We waited and do periodically as these sales reports and this sluggish holiday traffic result for Target is an opportunity for us to point you to AFA.net. We do have a place where you can click through to the Target boycott. As Abe suggested, you can look at some of the stories that have happened from around the country where what we predicted would happen has happened. We're not happy for that.
No,
we're just letting people know what the dangers are. And we encourage you to sign the boycott pledge and encourage, if you have, encourage family and friends to do the same. All right, Fred, moving along, we have the last days of President Obama's administration and a little bit of a brouhaha over one of his latest commutations, I guess.
Yeah, actually just yesterday, 273 more people receiving clemency in one day. It's now more, well over 1,000 that President Obama commutations pardons. In fact, according to the AP, he's now become the president to have granted more commutations than any other in history. And yesterday there was one case in particular that drew a lot of attention, and that is the case of Bradley Manning. Now, if you're watching mainstream media, reading mainstream media, they call him Chelsea Manning because somewhere along the way in the last several years, he decided that he wanted to take on the persona of a woman. So they changed his name to Chelsea Manning.
And that's what people who are reading about this are, they're going to see stories about Chelsea Manning. Manning.
Yes, exactly. So I just want to clear that up. But yesterday, now he was found guilty by a military court. He was a U.S. Army private. Of releasing to WikiLeaks 700,000 government documents, information on things the government was pursuing, both in the United States and around the world in a military manner.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely dangerous. He was found guilty. He was sentenced to 35 years, Leavenworth.
Mm-hmm.
He has served a couple of years of that. Yesterday, President Barack Obama said, nah, not that bad at all. We're going to let him loose, and he's going to be released in May. And no incoming president, correct me if I'm wrong, Abe, can do anything about this.
Oh, no.
That's the way it is. Now, all presidents have done these sorts of things in their last days, and we know that there's more coming. I had the opportunity this morning, filled in for Sandy Rios, had the opportunity to talk with Gary Bauer, Campaign for Working Families. And here was his assessment of how grave this situation is compared to all the brouhaha about WikiLeaks being involved with Hillary Clinton emails.
Right.
Have a listen to this, what Gary Bauer had to say.
Well, I'm glad he's running out of days in office because I'm running out of adjectives to describe what it is he's doing. mean, the word that came to mind yesterday as I was trying to navigate the traffic in Washington and this news broke was shame. This president and his allies, every day since the election, has been elevating the leaks out of the Democratic National Committee, basically of John Podesta, leaks that were sort of politically embarrassing, they were sort of gossipy, et cetera. Those leaks were elevated to a national emergency. Sanctions were put on Russia over those leaks. In this case, we're not talking about political tidbits or little embarrassing items of a Democrat operative. We're talking about national security documents of the United States. Some of these were later found on Osama bin Laden's computer. People were killed as a result of these leaks. And the President of the United States, who says that Donald Trump doesn't respect our intelligence community, just punched our intelligence community in the mouth.
There you have it. That's Gary Bauer's assessment, and he's so right. People died because of what Bradley Manning did with these 700,000 documents. Some of them got in the hands of terrorists. This is how grave the situation was. But President Barack Obama said yesterday, I don't have a problem with this. Let him go.
And, you know, there was some controversy over, the commutation. Now, is it commutation or it's not a pardon? Help us out with some of the legal distinctions here.
A commutation is different from a pardon. So a commutation is simply reducing the applicable sentence. A pardon is a president nullifying a conviction. So Private Manning will still have this conviction on his record. The president just unilaterally determined to reduce his sentence severely.
Okay.
As opposed to a presidential pardon, which will be one that completely removes from all of the annals of history that this individual may have been convicted of a crime.
Okay.
So that's the distinction between a pardon and a commutation.
Okay. All right. So with the controversy over the commutation of Bradley Manning's sentence, there was some comparison with Edward Snowden. Hmm. Now, Edward Snowden has not, you know, admittedly, there are differences here. Mm-hmm. Manning did go through a military trial, went through the military criminal justice process, and he was found guilty. Edward Snowden has been out of the country not in hiding, but has not come to face the music. He also, Edward Snowden, asked for the president to give him some help. My opinion is that both these people should be in hot water, and they should stay in hot water because there is no telling, you know, Abe, just start with you. There's no telling the ripple effect that what these folks have done may have on down the line. We do have a substantial number of enemies in this world, and both mm-hmm. of them have given secrets, given, in a sense, aid and comfort to our enemies, and I think they both should face justice, and they should serve out their terms. These are not the kind of people you don't want to encourage this going forward, mm-hmm. especially when President Obama and the Democratic Party has been howling over the WikiLeaks, impact it might have had on Hillary Clinton's chances.
I mean, let's think about this. Private Manning's treasonous activity put WikiLeaks on the map.
Yes, it did.
Without him, we are not talking about WikiLeaks right now. And you have the president of the United States basically saying, treason is not that big a deal. You can commit treason against the U.S. I mean, if the president doesn't care to protect and to enforce the law when it comes to people violating our laws and releasing our secrets to the world, mm-hmm. why should anybody else care? Mm-hmm. Why should anybody else care? And then, and just as you said, Ed, with the current euphoria surrounding Donald Trump's an illegitimate president because of the Russian intervention with WikiLeaks. Well, this guy put WikiLeaks on the map, which clearly shows that they're using it merely for political talking points. Mm-hmm. It's not something that they have any concern about affecting the election because, hey, President Obama chose to let this guy out. And we cannot, and I don't mean to be insensitive by saying letting this guy out, but we cannot also minimize the reality of the transgender issue afoot. Mm-hmm. This is the same president who ceremoniously lit up the White House in rainbow colors on the day Obergefell was decided. And if anybody knows
anything about the
same-sex marriage decision, that you don't have a spontaneous light show at the White House.
No. Right. He knew.
Clearly, he was prepared for this decision to be announced. And many people and even news magazines have bantied about the President Obama as the first gay president. And so you have him doubling down on really, as Gary Bauer said, a gut punch to our military and our intelligence community, while simultaneously giving a parting tip of the cap to the LGBTQ agenda. Mm. And it's mystifying that he's willing to put our nation in such jeopardy on his way out.
Well, and Trump gets bashed because he shows hesitance to granting legitimacy to the intelligence reports on Russia. Everybody said, well, you're undermining the intelligence community. Can't you just trust them? You know, these guys have been in it for their whole life. But Obama does something like releases Bradley Manning, and the intelligence community and the media is silent on the gut punch that Gary Bauer was talking about.
Well, Fred, in terms of President Trump's maybe questioning of, you know, the intelligence reports on Russia, I don't think anybody can deny that this administration has politicized the executive branch more than maybe any other that I can remember. There may be some historians who might say, well, Nixon was pretty bad, too. He did have an enemies list, and there was talk of, you know, him punishing his enemies through the use of the federal government. I don't know. That's a question for historians. But I know in terms of recent memory, my own recent memory, this has been a politicized administration. When you talk about the IRS and how it has been used and other aspects of the EPA, the president saying we're going to, you know, destroy the coal industry. And so the EPA is going to. So I can at least understand why President-elect Trump would say, I want to make sure when I get into office that the intelligence community is not also being politicized. I got to say, I'm going to take a wait and see attitude.
Yeah, to a certain extent, I guess that happens with the president have the power to choose the leaders of Justice Department, et cetera, et cetera. But there is no question, and I mentioned the Justice Department, that Eric Holder, his first selection for Attorney General, now Loretta Lynch, there is no question they took the president's political agenda, and I'm thinking in the cases of police departments and what has happened there. The Ferguson effect has had a tremendous impact on law and order in this country. And what we're talking about here, the Ferguson effect being police officers now afraid to take what would normally be action when they're called into a situation because they're afraid of being second-guessed by the Justice Department, you know, if it can be perceived or accused of doing something wrong. You took too much action to stop the bad guy. Now, again, you know, everybody admits there are bad police officers sometimes, and they ought to be dealt with. Senator Sessions, in his hearing the other day, to become the next Attorney General, says, yes, we have to deal with the bad cops that are out there. But he did make it clear, and I had to agree with him, that what has happened under the Obama Justice Department, very politicized, has discouraged police departments across this country to the point where because they're backing away for fear of being accused of doing wrong things by the Justice Department, people's lives are in jeopardy. And that's where this politicized departments has taken us. And I think people are very hopeful. One of the reasons I think Donald Trump was elected is that he's going to drain the swamp and change things.
Hope so. All right, folks, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, this team will remain in the studio. We will add Todd Starnes. He's going to let us know how deplorables, that's a term from the election, how deplorables can help make America great again. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Again, just take a short break. We'll be right back and hope you will join us.
On the next edition of Today's Issues, we'll get the latest news from Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl. And we'll hear from Abraham Hamilton III.
Ladies and gentlemen, eternity's already started. The only question is whether or not we will be benefactors of eternal life or eternal damnation.
We may also hear from Tim Wildman from Washington, D.C. That's on the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and online at AFR.net.
Isn't it refreshing to have a president that isn't hostile to Christianity? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman with the American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, our country was founded on the Judeo-Christian worldview. There's no question about it. The Christian religion was dominant in early America, and there's a reason our country was called a Christian nation. We're going to see this rich history when we go to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon on our Spiritual Heritage Tour in June, and then the other one in September. In addition, we're going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate tour, but you can do both of those tours with us if you would like to. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be our historian as he tells us about our great Christian heritage and history. For more information on either of these tours, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. There won't be too many Democrats attending President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration. Dozens of lawmakers refused to attend. Some, like Georgia Congressman John Lewis, even refused to acknowledge Trump won the election fair and square. The social justice crowd is in a tailspin, too. Cultural elites are catatonic, and Hollywood is in a complete meltdown. But the president-elect could not care less. And it turns out many of the so-called A-listers refusing to attend the inauguration were never invited in the first place.
Many of the celebrities that are saying they're not going, they were never invited.
Well,
I don't want the celebrities, I want the people.
It's a shame so many people refuse to set aside partisan politics for the good of the country. But Inauguration Day will go on, and it will be a glorious day for the Republic. Donald Trump wants the people, not the celebrities. And that's just fine by me. I'm Todd Starnes.
Brian Fisher here. Millennial journalists go to Kentucky to find out why poor people are in favor of repealing Obamacare. We'll give you the answer. Bradley Manning gets a get-out-of-jail-free card instead of the death penalty he deserves, and liberals keep working to disrupt the inauguration. All that on Focal Point today, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson, who's news director for American Family News and One News Now, Abe Hamilton, who's our public policy analyst, and Walker Wildman, who's assistant to the president. And just a moment, we're going to welcome Todd Starnes to the program, no stranger to our listening audience. I do want to let you know that at the end of this segment, this being Sanctity of Life Month, and this Sunday being Sanctity of Life Sunday, we're going to play the audio of a video that is produced by Ray Comfort and Living Waters. It's a, it's a poetic monologue, I guess, about pro-life, about life. And so, if your heart is turned towards that issue, we invite you to. So stay tuned to the end of this segment. We will play that on the air before our break. So we have Todd Starnes.
Yes, Todd Starnes is on with us.
Fox Radio News reporter. His regular commentary is heard daily on AFR. You just heard Todd, in fact, during the break. He has a new book titled The Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again. And we want to welcome the chief deplorable, Todd Starnes, to Today's Issues. Todd, welcome back.
The deplorable among deplorables.
kind of a take on what the Apostle Paul said. When you know, Hebrew of Hebrews, Pharisee of Pharisees. In your case, a deplorable of deplorables. But that's a good thing in the way it was used. Tell our listeners, for those who have kind of heard that word thrown around, they knew it had something to do with the election, where that word came from, why you wanted to write a book about us
well,
folks.
This is why I dedicated my new book to Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
just kidding. it was back on the campaign trail. Hillary Clinton was giving a speech in New York City to an LGBT group, and she talked about people who support Donald Trump. And she said half of Donald Trump supporters are homophobic and Islamophobic and all sorts of phobics. There was a litany of them. And she said that we're just a great big basket of deplorables, irredeemable deplorables. And I was writing the book. I was already writing the book at that point. And I thought, huh, this would be a great title for the book. And because ultimately, what she said goes back to what President Obama said years ago, talking about folks who cling to their guns and their religion, calling us bitter Americans. And I got to tell you something. I'm sort of proud to be a gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
Todd, this is Abe here, and I'm sure you heard the news recently that was announced that the Clinton Global Initiative is shutting its doors on April 15th this year because magically, it appears that their donors only like Clintons when they have access to a White House or a State Department. How does that factor into your guide for Deplorable's Guide to Making America Great Again?
Well, they still had to buy the book at full price. You know, this is the great thing about my book. For the first time, you know, this is my fourth book, fellas. Mm-hmm. I think this is the first time where the liberals actually agree. This really is a deplorable book.
Hey, Todd, this is Walker here. If you can, without revealing what's all in your book, because we want people to buy it, can you give us a little glimpse, maybe one story or a snippet of it that really stood out to you when writing the book?
Sure. Well, one of the things that we heard from folks who bought my last book, Godless America, is they wanted some talking points. They wanted some action points, because when you read one of my books, you want to get ready to do something after you finish reading a chapter. Mm-hmm. So we really decided to make this a handbook for folks. And at the end of each chapter, we provide marching orders. So what can we do in our towns and our communities to restore traditional American values? How can we get back to those the values that our founding fathers had? And we explain how to do that in the book. And Walker, one of the things that I want people to do is laugh, is to smile. And I think that we're called to be happy warriors, because ultimately, you know, we've all read the Book of Revelation. We know how all of this ends. So we should be joyful. And I talk a lot about that in the book, and there are a lot of fun chapters as well. One of my favorite stories, we talk about how the culture is changing. And you fellas know that I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. So I'm just a Southerner as they come, and I talk about how the South has been impacted by what I call the culture creep, and like Northern traditions are seeping in like kudzu. And so the name of that chapter in the book is called Baptist Biscuits and Bare Naked Tree Huggers.
Oh, we almost can't say that on the air, but you did. Hey, listen, Todd, let me ask you this. You know, I'm glad to be a deplorable if by deplorable, you know, you're talking about someone who clings to God, okay? I may not cling to my gun. I do have one handy in my home. But all joking aside, and this is very serious stuff when we talk about the divide between the left, the elites, and the deplorables. So let me ask you this. As divided as we are, is there any real way? I mean, are these just two groups that will always remain divided? Is this something that can only be settled by civil war, God forbid? I mean, how does this country become one again?
Well, I make that point in the book, that ultimately, if we are going to reunite as a country, it won't be done in the state house. It has to be done in the church house. Mm. And I believe that really what ails our country, everything that ails our country, can be solved by returning to the Christian heritage of our great nation. You know, if you really want to address the issues like, for example, race relations in America, you know, Congress can't change somebody's heart. Mm-hmm. Only a relationship with Christ can change someone's heart. And I talk about that in the book. I make it a point to say that, you know what, I may be a deplorable American, but I'm not irredeemable. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And so there is a distinct Christian flavor and Christian theme running through this book. And I challenge people, you know what, we can't, you know, Christians, if we want to, you know, complain about an issue, or if we want to protest, we can't be that clanging cymbal or the noisy gong. You know, we have to again be ambassadors for Christ, even in our protest. But I really hope people understand that theme as they read the Deplorables Guide, because we can take back America, we can reunite America. And that is the point of this book, is to do that.
Todd, it's Fred here. You know, one of the things I think that has to change, and it may not, but Donald Trump would like to, is, and that's the mainstream media. You are in the belly of the beast there in New York City when it comes to hometown of the major media. I mean, Donald Trump has their heads spinning, and it doesn't sound like he's going to give up. We were just discussing this morning, you know, there's this controversy over where the White House media are going to be for the daily briefing. And he wanted to put them, I think, across the street with a place that would seat about 140. And they didn't like that. They say they want to be close to him. So he said, okay, we'll bring you back across the street and you can be in the West Wing of the White House here. But that only sits 29 people and I get to pick who the 29 are. I mean, this knowing these elite, you talk about the elite in this country, the mainstream media, the ABC, CBS, CNN, whatever the case may be, they have got to be roaring, but there's no backing down when it comes to Donald Trump and his relationship with the media.
Well, there's not, and they, I think, really, they are shell-shocked right now because they're not used to a politician actually standing up to them, and quite frankly, the mainstream media of late, they've been bullies. You know, they bullied George W. Bush, they bullied Donald Trump, and I think they're coming to terms with this idea that he does not need them to get his message out.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why he's been sending out messages to the country in 140 characters or less on Twitter. Look, I worked for a time, you know, as the fill-in White House correspondent for Fox Radio, and I can tell you that press briefing room is tiny. As a matter of fact, the workspace for Fox Radio was about the size of a phone booth, literally.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a lot of space, and it makes perfect sense to move to a larger room where more media can participate. But Fred, you touched on something. This really has nothing to do with inviting more a journalist in. This has to do with the fact that ABC and CNN and the New York Times and the Associated Press all believe they deserve to be in those front row seats and nobody else gets to ask the questions.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to those daily briefings now. this is going to be entertainment worth watching.
Yes.
As to how all of this transpires. Because I know Donald Trump is not going to be in the room. But his press.
But he's going to be in the room.
But he's going to be in shadow. The room. And I mean, pointing the finger, fake news, out of here. You know, it's almost like, what's the show he used to, The Apprentice? You know?
Yes.
You're fired.
You're out of here. You know, that was an expression, apparently, of his personality.
Yes.
And that personalities don't change. A leopard can't change its spots.
Mm-mm.
And you know, Fred, to be honest with you, I hope to one day hear someone from One News Now asking a question of the president. I mean, you guys have a massive audience.
Yes.
And this is what Donald Trump was talking about and Sean Spicer, the press secretary, were talking about. There are many of these news agencies out there that have audiences just as large as the mainstream media audiences. Why aren't they allowed to ask questions? Why aren't they allowed to participate in that process?
Well, a lot of people may not be aware. It is the Correspondents Association. They have a great deal of power. You know, you have to go through them to get certification to go to the political conventions. It's not the parties that certify you. It's this the Correspondents Association. And I think they've had that kind of power at the White House, but it sounds to me like Donald Trump is going to change that. And that is refreshing. They have controlled, they've not only controlled the message, but they've controlled the messengers.
Yes.
And that thing has to change.
Hey, Todd, tell us about where our listeners can find your book.
Well, we have a landing page by Publishing House. Charisma House has done a tremendous job. They have a you can actually download a chapter of the book and read it. It's at deplorablesbook.com. That's deplorables with an S, book.com. And you can go ahead and pre-order your book. So we're really excited. The book, by the way, guys, on Amazon, it's already hit bestseller status. And so we're really excited. Apparently, there are a lot of deplorable people in America.
Well, what's what's a good Baptist boy doing working with those crazy charismatics? Charisma House is your publisher.
Well, you know, I went to Lee University, which is a Church of God school. I don't speak in tongues, but I can interpret.
Okay.
All right. I'm just kidding.
Okay. All right. Todd.
I'm pretty good at jumping pews, too.
Well, and you know what? I think a lot of us Christians are discovering we are all in this boat together, and we're gonna sail together or sink together. So,
And that is the message of the Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again. It's that we've got to stand together, and when we do, and I give example after example, when we do, we can facilitate change, which is why Donald Trump's going to be sworn into office on Friday.
Well, it's a very sneaky way of getting the title of your book on air one more time. The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again. Folks, I look forward to reading this book. You will be blessed, encouraged, and informed, and apparently given some pretty good marching orders, too. That's Todd Starnes. You've been hearing his voice, Fox Radio News reporter. Todd, thank you so much for being on with us.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care, Todd.
It's always great to listen to Todd. He's got a little bit of Southern drawl in there, but as you said, Fred, he's in the belly of the beast and knows and gives us kind of an insider's glimpse to what's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I enjoy his commentary that's here on American Family Radio every day.
Yeah.
I listen, what is he going to address next? Mm-hmm. One of his latest ones is that our universities are turning men into women. Mm. I don't know if he has a podcast, but folks, you got to listen to that one.
Yeah.
It's always informative and entertaining. He's got a great combination there. Fred, we do have this audio I want to play in just a few minutes, but give us an update on some of the things that are happening in D.C. today.
Ooh.
Betsy DeVos, her hearing is today, right?
Well, actually, it was last night.
May be
continuing. She was up before the Senate Health, Education, and Pensions Committee, and we knew it was going to be a rough go for her going into this. Because she is President-elect Trump's nominee for Education Secretary. And Betsy DeVos, you probably know by now, has been a tremendous advocate for charter schools, for school vouchers. Now, that is anathema to the teachers' union. And the teachers' union has spent money over the last several weeks in a campaign to try to discredit Betsy DeVos. And it was, it's just fascinating. I listened to some of it. One of the comments was from Bernie Sanders. He's a Democrat senator. I think everybody's familiar with him.
Oh, yeah.
But he was on that committee last night. And he's, what do you think about free college for everyone, free tuition for everyone? And, you know, in a very calm voice, have you ever heard of Betsy DeVos speak? Very calm voice. She said, well, you know, Senator, there is nothing that is free. And he's kind of, oh, yeah, I understand that. We're going to get the billionaires to pay for it. And then he goes into, and it's just amazing. It was an amazing demonstration once again of the thinking of the left. And also, we need free daycare for everybody. And again, it's about, and she came back with that one. Well, I don't think that's in the preview of the education department, free daycare for everyone.
Right.
But they're loading up on her. But she handled herself extremely well. Like I say, the teachers' unions, the... And again, we want to frame this very carefully. And she was very careful last night. She is not the enemy of public schools. What she is saying is that where public schools are failing, give parents the right to say, I only get one go around with educating my kid. Mm-hmm. And I ought to have a say as a parent, as to what kind of education my kids are getting. So why not open it up to charter schools? Why not open it up to vouchers? We covered this case, and I remember talking to you on programs about this. Remember in Washington, D.C.?
Right.
There was a move there by parents. They wanted vouchers. And these many, you know, the population in Washington, D.C. is primarily African-American. These are people who wanted better schools for their kids. And Barack Obama said, no. You guys got to keep your kids in public schools. Now, Barack Obama put his girls in private schools. But he said to these parents, these African-American parents, we just want better schools for our kids to give them an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And Barack Obama said no, because he was beholden to the teachers' unions. And this is one of the points that Betsy DeVos is making. You know, a school is about the students, folks. It's not about those adults that want to run it. It's about the kids. It's about their education. And she is all about putting the kids first and putting the education of those kids back in the hands of parents. And there's a large contingent out there on the Democratic side that does not want that.
Abe, we got. I'm going to give you about 90 seconds because I want to give us some time to run this audio here before the break. I mean, it is. It would be legal, wouldn't it? I mean, would it pass constitutional muster if this Congress and this president sign legislation saying parents get whatever the you know the number is, $7,000 a year. They can spend it wherever they want, whether it be public, private, you know, public. Religious, whatever, they can spend. Would that pass constitutional muster?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's nothing that prohibits Congress from passing that kind of legislation, you know. And I mean,
because it wouldn't be money coming from the federal government to a religious school. It'd be money going to a parent.
To the parents, exactly.
And
right.
And the parent spends it wherever they
wherever
want.
Wherever they want to, you know. And this idea is being floated because a lot of people have heard the notion of health savings accounts. A similar, not the ESA investment model, but having a similar type of account structure set up from the federal government to allow the equivalent of the per child cost for public education to go to the family so they use it wherever they want. They can employ it. Either it would be employed if they go to public school, if they go to charter school, homeschool, private school, whatever they choose to do with it, they would be able to do so. That would absolutely pass constitutional muster.
Well, I'm sure we'll get a chance to talk about this issue in the months to come. This is a really important issue with regards to education. Folks, we're going to switch gears here. As I mentioned, this is Sanctity of Life Month. January is. And this Sunday, the anniversary of the terrible Roe versus Wade decision, is Sanctity of Life Sunday. And we received and sent it out with an action alert this week. And if you want to check this out, I think we're going to maybe we'll try to get this this video posted on our Facebook page. But also you can sign up for our action alerts and take a look at the video. It's produced by Ray Comfort and his Living Waters Ministries. And we're going to play the audio version of it because it is such a powerful testimony regarding the issue of life.
Choice. Is it really? Or is it silly to say that a choice is given when no voice is given to the one whose life is taken away? No, not silly. Tragic. A tragedy of epic proportions where epic distortions have led to an epidemic of holocaustic abortions. Murder. Yes, I said the word. It isn't easy to hear, but it needs to be heard. So it needs to be said. Because blood has been shed. Because babies are dead. So I will not opt for a soft word instead. Choice? Yes, choices are made. Some choose to silence babies' heartbeats with violence, and hitmen called doctors choose to get paid. Now here's where it gets dramatic, where I get labeled a right-wing extremist, a religious fanatic. But let me be emphatic. I'll take any name as long as I proclaim Christ and save babies from being sacrificed while I'm at it.
That would make me ecstatic. So go ahead and aim your verbal automatic and fire away and get erratic. To me, that will not be in the least bit problematic. But here is where the problem lies. It's where Christians choose to compromise. It's where we choose to cover up our eyes while baby after baby dies. It's where sinners are sinking into hell and we have saving truths we choose to refuse to tell. That's the reality. That's the current mentality. Some offer baby girls and boys to an idol called choice in the name of convenience and individuality, while Christians refrain as sinners perish in vain and babies are slain through legalized medical brutality. So where is the hope? For the Christian who's failed to take a stand, he still extends his nail-pierced hand. So for the sake of his glory and the sake of his fame, let him fan your flickering flame and casting aside the fear and the shame, repent and obey and speak truth in his name. So where is the hope? For the sinner, there is faith and repentance, because God can wipe away your sentence, because he chose to send his son, the one he chose to sacrifice in the sinner's place, so he can give sinners grace. Because there is no sin without or within that his redeeming blood cannot erase. He can impute to sinners his righteous perfection through his death and glorious resurrection. So don't let it get distorted. You can be forgiven even if you've aborted. That's the truth. Don't ignore it. If your heart is contrite, he'll make it right and restore it. Choice. Some will make the choice to arise, to open their eyes, to see through the lies, to turn from foolish to wise. Choice. Some will make the choice to refuse, to reject truth and good news, to still stumble and snooze, and they'll have a whole lot to lose. Choice. What will you choose?
All right, that is a powerful instrument, I think, for ministering to people who have women who have aborted, men who have encouraged it or stood by and did nothing maybe while they could have stopped it. That is from Ray Comfort's ministry, Living Waters. A lot of our listeners know of Ray Comfort. Walker, we have put that up on our Facebook page. It's actually a video. We played the audio, obviously, because that's the best we can do on radio. But it is a video, and it is a very powerful thing. It is now on our Facebook page, Today's Issues Facebook page. We encourage you to share that. Share that on your Facebook page. Send it out to as many people as possible. This is Sanctity of Life Month. January is. This Sunday is Sanctity of Life Sunday. And American Family Association, the sanctity of human life is a very, very important issue. And we hope you were blessed by that, encouraged by it, inspired to speak to that issue when you have an opportunity. All right. This is Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We're going to take a 5-minute break for news. And when we come back, we got more. So please come back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.